नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord, Text 32. Sa uttama shloka padabja vishtaram. प्रेमाश्रुलेशैर उपमेहयन्मुहुः। प्रेमोपरुद्धाखिल वर्णनिर्गमो नैवाशकतं प्रसमीडितुं चिरम्। स उत्तम श्लोक पदाब्ज विष्टरम् प्रेमाश्रुलेशैरुपमेहयन्मुहुः। प्रेमोपरुद्धाखिल वर्ण निर्गमो नैवाशकतं प्रसमीडितुं चिरम्। स उत्तम श्लोक पदाब्ज विष्टरम् प्रेमाश्रुलेशैरुपमेहयन्मुहुः। प्रेमोपरुद्धाखिल वर्ण निर्गमो नैवाशकतं प्रसमीडितुं चिरम्। सः हि उत्तम श्लोक ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड पद अब्ज ऑफ द लोटस फीट विष्टरम् The resting place, Prema Ashru of tears of pure love, Leshai by drops, Upamehayan moistening, Muhu again and again, Prema Uparudha. Choked with love, Akhila, all, Varna, of the letters, Nirgamaha, the coming out, Na, not, Eva, indeed, Ashakat, was able, Tam, unto him, Prasamiditum, to offer prayers, Chiram, for a long time. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanarvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki chai. Translation. With tears of love and affection, Chitraketu repeatedly moistened the resting place of the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Because his voice was choked in ecstasy, for a considerable time he was unable to utter any of the letters of the alphabet to offer the Lord suitable prayers. Purport. All the letters of the alphabet and the words constructed of those letters are meant for offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Chitraketu had the opportunity to offer prayers to the Lord by composing nice verses from the letters of the alphabet. But because of his ecstasy, for a considerable time he could not join those letters to offer prayers to the Lord. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 22, Idam hipumsa tapasa shutasya va svishtasya suptasya ca buddhi dattayoho avichyutortha kavibhir nirupito yaduttama shloka gunanu varnanam. If one has scientific, philosophical, political, economic, or any other abilities and wants perfection in his knowledge, he should offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by composing first-class poetry or engaging his talents in the service of the Lord. Chitraketu wanted to do this, but he was unable because of loving ecstasy. Therefore, he had to wait for a considerable time before he could offer prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today morning we are discussing from this very beautiful chapter where King Chitraketu, after having gone through a lot of suffering initially for not having a son, although having 1 million wives, and then finally by the prayers, by the blessings of Angira Rishi, finally Chitraketu Maharaj did get a son through his wife Krita Dyuti. But as is the nature of this material world, nothing sustains. Change is the way the world is designed by the Lord. So the other wives of Chitraketu Maharaj got envious of this one Krita Dyuti, who got all attention from Chitraketu Maharaj, because it was through Krita Dyuti the child was born. So because of that envy, these women, they plotted together and poisoned the little child Harshashok, as a result of which the same child who was giving so much pleasure to Maharaj Chitraketu for a short period of time again gave a series of dukkha or suffering. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purports that this is the nature of the material world. It's like a sandwich, two thick layers of bread and a thin layer of butter or jam in between. So there's thick layers of suffering and a thin layer of illusory happiness. That happiness that is experienced in between those sufferings is also simply an interaction of the senses with the sense object. There is no actually real pleasure. But one assumes, one feels, due to being in illusion, that I am feeling some pleasure. And that little pleasure is the driving force for humanity to continue to suffer. This is a beautiful, intelligent, expert arrangement made by the Supreme Lord, that the very sources of suffering appears as objects of enjoyment. It requires an awakened vision to be actually able to see the objects which seem to give enjoyment are nothing but sources of misery. We have heard this maybe from our childhood of Krishna consciousness, but every day practically we fall victim to such objects of happiness. So for that matter, we have transcendental literatures, the great acharyas and devotees of the Lord who are living by those transcendental literatures to gift us this realization. Stop looking for happiness in this world, because it doesn't exist at the very first place. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitaya, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Radha, Shyam Sundar Ji Ki Jai. This is where happiness exists. But unfortunately, Chitraketu Maharaj fell victim to attachment to his son, due to which he had to go through a lot of suffering. But as is the mercy of the great souls, as we know from the past time, at this time Angira Rishi came with Narad Muni at the time when Maharaj Chitraketu with his wives were lamenting over the death of Harshashoka. And then, as we went through in the chapter, in the beginning of this chapter, Narad Muni very intelligently preached to Maharaj Chitraketu, not personally, but he inspired the dead child to awaken. He requested the soul who had left from the body of the child to come back and speak some message to the lamenting father. And very, very beautiful, it is described in the Bhagavatam, such beautiful transcendental message was spoken by Harshashoka by the mercy of Shripad Narad Muni. It was actually Shripad Narad Muni who invested potency in the words of that little child and that soul to speak that message, so much so that it had an immediate transforming effect upon the heart of all the assembled personalities, especially Maharaj Chitraketu, because the object of the message was Chitraketu Maharaj. Generally we see the messages of Bhagavatam or the discussions are always one to one, when it is Vidura with Maitreya Rishi, whether it is Krishna with Uddhava, or here, although there are many assembled people there, but Harshashoka was specially speaking to Maharaj Chitraketu with such compassion invested by Narad Muni, that after hearing that few verses from Harshashoka, Chitraketu Maharaj became purified and immediately he surrendered to Narad Muni. And Narad Muni could notice that sense of surrender within the heart of Chitraketu Maharaj. Being pleased with it, he immediately blessed Maharaj Chitraketu with a mantra. And the mantra was so powerful, or I would say powerfully blessed by Narad Muni, in such a way that in 7 days of chanting that mantra, Chitraketu Maharaj got darshan of Lord Sankarsana. Just see, we have been chanting Hare Krishna surely more than 7 days. All the assembled devotees were sitting here. But what darshan we get? The eyes closed rather when we chant Hare Krishna. So difficult to keep the two eyelids separate from each other. But here we see it was the intensity of surrender of Chitraketu Maharaj, and in reciprocation to that surrender, the blessings that came from a personality of the caliber of Narad Muni that invested that potency within the mantra, chanting which Chitraketu Maharaj experienced such purification, such quick, intense purification. And now the Supreme Lord is right there. And as we hear from today's verse, he was so, the word used is ecstasy, so ecstatic. And the symptoms of ecstasy were coming upon his body, so much so that although in his heart of hearts he had a desire to appreciate, glorify, express his gratitude to the Lord, but he was just unable to bring the letters together to form words and the words together to form sentences or verses to glorify the Supreme Lord. Somehow Srila Prabhupada doesn't stress in his purport upon the ecstasy part that Chitraketu Maharaj was experiencing, due to which he could not glorify the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada just mentions that. Because we are not anywhere close to this realization or this experience in our life where we are experiencing such ecstasy that we are unable to do our services to the Lord. So this is the beauty of the Acharyas. They, from the same verse, if Srila Prabhupada was speaking to assembly of pure devotees, greatly realized souls, purport would have been totally different. But Srila Prabhupada was speaking his purports to all of us and to all the millions and millions of people who will be reading it for the next 9,500 years. So Srila Prabhupada gave a very practical angle to this verse, where Mahachitraketu is in his ecstasy, and his ecstasy is so much that he is unable to glorify the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada takes out the principle from this translation, from this verse, talking about how everything is supposed to be used in the service of the Lord, because everything is nothing other than the property of the Lord. Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. Or as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha Mattah Sarvam Pravartate. Everything emanates from me, thus it belongs to me. And if everything belongs to Krishna, naturally it behooves one to use that everything which is property of Krishna in the service of Krishna. That is the proper utility of anything that exists. Anything that exists, it is supposed to be used in the service of Krishna. Why? Because it is Krishna's property. It is meant for his enjoyment. The whole material and spiritual creations are simply meant to give enjoyment to Krishna. And the living entities actually get enjoyment by utilizing what they have in the service of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada calls this as Yukta Vairagya. Generally, people have this conception that spirituality means giving up things, going to the Himalayas, living a very sadhu, they call that a sadhu kind of life. Sadhu means one having big jata, big beard, matted, torn clothes, living with bare minimum facilities. So when sometimes people see our ISKCON devotees in saffron clads, it becomes very difficult for people to appreciate sometimes devotees as sadhus. Because especially in India, people have a conception of a sadhu. If you ask in general person, anyone, can you explain a sadhu? Can you describe a sadhu? What will be that description? Like this. Person wearing, having a kamandalu, thick wooden slippers, if at all, matted hair, things like that. Because generally people connect spirituality to giving up things of this world. I was once traveling in an auto rickshaw. And that auto rickshaw person, when he dropped me to the place where I was supposed to go, he was like appearing very dejected, very sad. So seeing that kind of face, I asked, you seem to be very sad. If there's any way I can be of any help to you? He said, after seeing you, I have become sad. I thought, what have I done? Why you are feeling like this? He said, I have a great desire to become a spiritualist, but the thought of being a spiritualist got provoked after seeing you, but immediately along with that thought of taking to spirituality made me feel, ye mujhse nahi hoga. I cannot do like this. I cannot give up things of this world the way you have done. And that makes me feel very dejected. That means spirituality is not for me. But I want to do it. So there was both desires within his heart. He wanted to practice spirituality, his conception of spirituality, but he felt that it's not practical for him. He said, I am a grihastha person with wife and children. How can I practice spirituality? So spirituality is not for me. This is generally the conception of people of this world. Spirituality means tyaga. Giving up things of this world, and that's how you get God. It is our acharyas who give such a beautiful understanding. I'm sure many of us, especially coming from an Indian background, had something similar conception of what spirituality is, what the sadhu is. I can't forget when I was entering an AC compartment of a train. And the person from within the compartment, when he saw me coming in, hey, idhar kahan rahe ho? He said, where are you coming in this? Get out. He shouted at me, that man inside. He said, this is AC compartment. And he thought that where is this person? He tried to call the TT to throw me out from that compartment. Because people can't conceive that somebody in this kind of a dress, who's wearing the dress of a sadhu, accepting some facilities of this world. So it was our acharyas who have explained this concept of yukta vairagya. Not talking about tyaga, but talking about vairagya. There's a big contrasting difference between the two. In tyaga, one has to physically give up the things of this world. Whereas in vairagya, one doesn't need to necessarily give up everything of this world, but one has to have the expertise and the realization to use those things in Krishna's service. But the prerequisite to using things that we have in Krishna's service is detachment. Without having vairagya, yukta vairagya can be a very dangerous principle. It can be a principle that can take us away from Krishna. I have experienced so many devotees falling down from the process by misapplication of this principle of yukta vairagya, or utilizing everything in Krishna's service. This is so often talked about by Srila Prabhupada, the principle of yukta vairagya. But first of all, we need vairagya. Rag means attachment, vairag means no attachment or detachment. Opposite of attachment is not tyaga. Opposite of attachment is detachment. Like Maharaj Yudhishthira, Maharaj Parikshit, so many great kings who were great devotees of the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit ruled the kingdom just like an attached king, taking care of his subjects, spending time with whatever management was required. But when the instruction of the Lord came to leave, within one day, he gave up that kingdom to wear simple sadhu clothes, sitting on the banks of the Ganges, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That is detachment. Even while he was ruling, he was detached. The proof is, when the opportunity to give that up came, he could very easily do that. This is how we can evaluate our own heart, that what I have, am I attached to it or am I detached from it? Think of giving it up. Think of your life without those things or without those people. And if you think, no problem, my life can comfortably, happily I can go on in my service to Guru and Krishna, that means there is a sufficient degree of detachment in that relationship with the people or with those things of this world. Because it is detachment which is a very, very important principle that is emphasized in the scriptures. The very purpose, Jayadvaita Swami in one of his presentations spoke on the horrors of grihastha life, and he was explaining that how grihastha life is meant for detachment. He was asked this question by one devotee, Maharaj, what is the purpose of grihastha life? He said, to give it up. It's not meant to be lived in whole life. Again, he was indicating towards the principle of detachment. That you may have your wife and children or husband, but the principle of detachment is the purpose. As we are living our life in the, especially in the grihastha order, for that matter in any order of life, even brahmacharis can become very attached, even sannyasis can become very attached to the respect that they get, the post and position that they get from the people of this world. Srila Prabhupada says, even brahmachari can get attached to his dhoti, his coping. It doesn't take too much to get attached to something of this world. It's so easy to be attached and so difficult to be detached. So before applying what we have in Krishna's service, we have to become detached from it. Otherwise, Yukta Vairagya becomes very like a razor's edge. It can hurt us badly. One of the most prominent things I have in my little preaching experiences, especially with this youth class, we have many young boys who have come today to Vrindavan. So this class of devotees, I have experienced one of the most common problems that they experience is problems coming from misuse of internet. Am I right? So many devotees. One devotee came and gave a very, very costly phone that he was gifted by his brother. Came and gave it to me. He said, Prabhuji, enough. I can no more use it in Krishna's service properly. But it has such fast internet, 4G, that it is so easy to misuse the facility that I have. So easy to fall prey to the facilities of this world. I was sitting in a train and opposite me there was a person studying a book, some management book, and behind that book it was written, facilities come as a servant but become your master. And I thought, it's really true. They appear to come to serve you. What can I do for you? That's how mobiles came. That's how any facility of this world comes, to assist us in our whatever life we are leading. But actually it becomes our master. We become the servant of that facility. Once upon a time there was no such thing as air conditioner. But today there are people who have got so addicted to this facility. Or for so many of us to live a life without a mobile, very difficult to think of it. I have experienced many people who when they, just the thought of not having mobile for the next 10 days. I had gone with a group of people out of India, and there the SIMs of Indian SIMs didn't work. It was just for 2 days that I had gone. But some of us were feeling so, as if prana has been taken out from the body. Because no messages were coming, no WhatsApp, no outgoing calls and nothing. I mean, that was like a dead piece of plastic lying, unused, and they were looking at it from time to time, some exchange, some interaction, but it was just lying dead. All you can do is just read some previous messages or some mails, or we become actually the servant of these facilities. Therefore, to apply this principle of Yukta Vairagya requires great maturity. Generally, I recommend to devotees, to especially the student class, that be very careful and consult before engaging something in Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports that Yukta Vairagya doesn't mean you get things and use them in Krishna's service. Use what you have in Krishna's service. Because what you already have by some arrangement of the Lord. Rather than I will work hard, I'll earn a lot of money, and then I'll engage full time in Krishna's service. So many students have said that to me. Prabhuji, give me 3 years. I'll go to US. And he has a whole plan that per month this is the amount I'm earning. By the end of 3 years, this is the amount I'll have, which I invest in so and so mutual fund. And then this much money I'll get per month, from which I'll have my rent of the house paid in India. I'll take care of my wife and children, their education. He made long-term plans of next 20 years. There's just 3 or 4 years of working in the US that will get me that much amount of money. And then I'll dedicate my life after maybe 10 years, once my children are a little bit grown, I'll dedicate full-time in Krishna's service. I would say, I don't want to quote a number, but I can comfortably say 99% people who said that and went to US did not come back. Or they went there, they earned that money, but in the course of that earning, they even left Krishna while they were there. Forget about coming back. Their chanting of 16 rounds became 10 rounds, 8 rounds, 4 rounds, because they were earning money to use in Krishna's service. That was the initial principle. But the nature of this world is such that it is heavily intoxicating. Therefore, we need superior consultation to find out what is my adhikar. Does my realization allow me to use this facility in Krishna's service? I know one of my very good friends, we came to Krishna consciousness practically together. We got initiation together. And he was such an enthusiastic preacher. I mean, I still remember we were traveling on a motorbike to a preaching program, and we stopped our motorcycle at the signal. So it was red, and it was showing like 1 minute and 170 some minutes for it to become green. So he was looking here and there, and he saw 2 young boys next to us in a motorcycle. So he told me, Prabhu, my tongue is watering. I said, what happened? He said, Prabhu, we have 1.5 minute remaining for this light to turn green, and here are 2 young boys. So much preaching we can do to these people. That was his dynamism. Amazing. I was so inspired by his inspiration, by his spirit to serve Krishna. Hardly used to spend time sleeping, going preaching till 11:30, 12 in the night, and he was there for the morning program at 4 o'clock. And he used to quote that, Prabhu, we have to give our bodies in the fire of Sankirtan. Burn ourselves to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya. And like how our acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada, how he traveled around the world tirelessly. So I used to feel great inspiration seeing that. I mean, I have still great heavy respect for him. Such a genuine sadhu. But somehow the body could not take it. His enthusiasm was beyond what the body could take it. And he became so sick that sometimes he used to be thirsty for 8-10 hours, although the glass of water is right next to him, because he did not have the energy in his hands to pick up that glass of water and drink it. So yes, he utilized practically every minute of his life in Krishna's service, but it was done beyond the adhikara. So it was not sustainable. One could not do that throughout his life. So we have to be intelligent enough. And if we are not that intelligent, we have to consult those who are intelligent to how to apply what we have in Krishna's service. It is a very beautiful principle, at the same time dangerous. If misapplied, we can really cut ourselves badly. So this principle of yukt vairagya, as I said, has to have the element of detachment as a prerequisite to be able to apply this principle in our day-to-day life. Srila Prabhupada often quotes the verses. There's not enough time to discuss it, but it's a beautiful, these series of two verses, first canto, chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Tadvag visargo janatag viplavo naya vachaschitra padam hariryasho. How words have to be utilized in glorification of Krishna, and words, if not utilized for the glorification of Krishna, it is like a place of pilgrimage for the crows. So yes, words, as this verse says, the words have to be utilized in glorification of Krishna, but how to utilize those words, to whom to utilize those words in the glorification of Krishna? Sometimes speaking about Krishna in a wrong place can lead to a lot of problems. I often quote this example. Once I was taken in an assembly of people where I had to speak about God without using the word Krishna, without using the word Srila Prabhupada. I had to distribute prasad without using the word prasad, because it was an assembly of hardcore Christians. And there was one Christian boy who had come to our program, and he was very inspired, and he was chanting 16 rounds, but he wanted his friends, fellow friends also, to get the message of Lord Chaitanya. So he took us to that program, but he didn't inform us before, till the time we reached for the program. And we saw all Christians sitting there. And he told, while I was about to begin the program, he whispered in my ear, Prabhu, please don't use the word Krishna. Now for us, even if we sneeze, Krishna, we say. And not to say the word Krishna and speak about God, very big austerity. So it's not just that we, the principle of using words in the service of God, it has to be very intelligently used. Words misapplied can lead to very great trouble. As it says that a tongue is 6 inches long, but it can kill a man 6 feet tall. It's a 6-inch long piece of flesh. But if misused, it can create big time trouble to us. So yes, everything has to be used in Krishna's service. The spirit, the principle is perfect, but it has to be very, very carefully applied. Especially, as I gave the example of internet, one has to evaluate one's adhikara. Internet is one example, but we can use it for anything for that matter. Therefore, Rupa Goswami talks about the concept of atyahara. It's not just ati ahara or ati food, but ati knowledge, ati reading of books, ati facilities to be used in Krishna's service. Ati means what? Ati. Ati means beyond one's adhikar, beyond one's realization to use them in Krishna's service. One Srila Prabhupada told his disciples that if you could use, Krishna could have given you the wealth of the whole America in Krishna's service. But because you cannot, so Krishna is not giving it to you. So actually this is a very important principle Srila Prabhupada taught. If we are not getting some facility, we can think like this, that maybe I don't have the adhikar to use it in Krishna's service, so Krishna is not providing it to me. So rather than struggling hard to get more and more facilities to serve Krishna in the name of yukt vairagya, let us use what we have first what we already have in Krishna's service and optimize it. Use it in such a way that Krishna feels inspired to give more of it. This is the principle that I meet many business people sometimes. I tell them earning money is not difficult. It's very easy to earn money as much as you want. Tell me a figure and I'll tell you how to earn it. It sounds very attractive. How many crores or millions of crores you want to earn? But the procedure, the principle is this. Krishna will see how are you utilizing what you have. First, why I already have given something. And sometimes people say, Prabhuji, we are not getting association of devotees. But when Krishna gives some association, how do you utilize that association? Is what Krishna sees. And to the degree we have properly utilized that association, Krishna will flood our life with association. Is Krishna against giving us association of devotees? He wants to give us association. Krishna can give us everything. What's difficult for Krishna to do? But still Krishna doesn't do so many things. He doesn't give us so many things of this world. Because He knows what is our adhikar. We may ask for something like a child asking for a chocolate, not knowing that it's good for me or bad for me. But Krishna is our well-wishing friend. So let us not be dejected when something that we are wanting to have doesn't come our way. Rather, be grateful to the Lord. Thank you, Krishna, for not giving it to me. I know so many students who have fallen victim to working hard to get a facility which was actually not meant for them. They were warned, don't go for these facilities. They went for it, then the very facilities became a source of so much trouble. One boy, he was having mediocre intelligence. But he said, I want to taste the joy of being a top ranker. Number one in the class, in his college. So we sufficiently hinted to him that you're a mediocre student, be happy being what you are. And let's utilize the time and energy that you have in Krishna's service in some other way. But he wanted to taste that being a topper in college. How people will, because he saw how toppers are dealt with. So he worked, he requested us that Prabhu give me 2 years. I'll stop chanting for 2 years. And those 2 years I'll prove myself to myself by getting the top rank, then I'm all yours. And Krishna is so expert. In this first year he could not get top rank, but yes, in the second year he became a topper. And he was having a celebration where many of his friends had come, and there was a party he had thrown, and the purpose of that party was to receive that appreciation from his fellow friends for being a topper, because that's what he had seen other toppers going through, and that's what actually he wanted. It's not the top rank that he was attached to. What, after getting the top rank, the appreciation that we get? So he threw the party, and you won't believe what happened in that party. That was the last night of his life. While dancing on the dance floor with his friends, he was little bit intoxicated, not much. But somehow while dancing he slipped. He fell in such a way, on the spot he died. He would never begin chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, even if he wouldn't have died, we were observing how he was living his life. It would have been almost impossible for him to begin chanting and to begin the process of Krishna consciousness. So we feel like giving Krishna consciousness a post-dated check. Let me do these things, then I'll take the bhakti seriously. That's not the right principle. It doesn't work generally. What we have right now has to be used in Krishna's service under proper consultation. We have to have some mature devotees as friends or superiors whom we consult before utilizing what we have also. in Krishna service. I am sure while I am talking this principle, many of you can think of some areas in your life, some time in your life where you got burnt by misutilizing what you have, what you had in Krishna service, and you learned the lesson by burning your hands. So yes, it's a beautiful principle. It has to be applied, but with great care and caution. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any one comment or suggestion or any clarification or criticism? Yes.
Speak on this principle in terms of preaching, because it seems one of the biggest areas of concern could be extending ourselves beyond our adhikar.
I did give an example of this friend of mine in one sense. So traveling around the world preaching and all those things, it's a beautiful thing to do, but we have to know that we still have a material body which needs some time for its taking care of it. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter 17th verse, Krishna says, Yukta Hara Viharasya, Yukta Cheshtasya Karmasu. Bhakti is for those who are balanced. So, artificially extending oneself, even in the name of enthusiasm or compassion, extending oneself beyond the restrictions put by scriptures upon us, 6 hours of sleep, Prabhupada says taking prasadam on time. If we disregard these principles at our level of consciousness and just be absorbed in preaching in the name of service to Krishna, in the name of one devotee, Prabhupada, every drop of blood should be engaged in Krishna's service. Yes, true, principle is perfect. But we have to have what that principle Bhaktivinoda Thakur says? Over enthusiastic practice of bhakti in Madhuri Kadambani, utsamahi. Tomorrow onwards, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll get up and chant 16 rounds before I come from Mangalarti. And such plans we make out of our enthusiasm to serve Krishna's intention is good, but we make plans beyond our realization. So we need to, somebody has to pull us down. Pull our feet on the floor. Prabhu, what you're saying is good. We appreciate your intention. We appreciate your enthusiasm. It has to be encouraged, first of all. His enthusiasm shouldn't be subdued. But he has to be just made to be a little more realistic. So generally I tell devotees when they ask about how much preaching should we do, how many more programs can we begin and things like that. I say, if you have taken enough rest every day, if you are taking prasadam on time and you are doing your prescribed sadhana of studying 2 hours, attending the morning program for 4 to 5 hours, then whatever time you get, you can preach. Yes, and if you don't do that, if you neglect any aspect like health or sadhana in the name of preaching, we'll burn our hands. So very simple. Sometimes we see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day is coming now. We see his schedule and we get charged up. Enough now. Let me begin my preaching. I'll make my schedule now. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is sleeping for 3 hours, 4 hours in the night. Yesterday somebody sent me a clipping. PM, Mr. Modi, and his schedule. Sleeping 4 hours, working 18 hours. And like that, this thing was given. How many hours he is working, sleeping only 4 hours every day. And some hundred and so many countries he has traveled in the past one or whatever number of years. Some statistics was given. And in bed he had written him devotee and written how inspiring he can do that for his country, how much we should do for Krishna. And people spreading it, and they pass it to others, and he was wanting it to be spread, such things. These kind of inspirational speech and talks force us to go beyond our realization sometimes. So it's good to be inspired to serve, no doubt. But end of the day, we have our material body, we have our material consciousness, we have our material desires, we have our anarthas. So along with all of them, how much we can serve is what we should. Actually, this kind of over-enthusiastic preaching is harmful. I always tell people this sutra: slow is good, fast is dangerous. Speed thrills, but kills. You cannot overspeed. Prabhupada gives the example of a mango connected to a tree. Mango, but tomorrow should get ripened. I'll get some heat treatment, some... Even if you ripe it artificially, it won't taste as sweet as a naturally ripened mango. So let us naturally get those realizations to extend like Srila Prabhupada, extend like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We want to have the externals like them, but maintain the internals like a materialistic person. Then things will not go. Two are incompatible. So make your internals like those whom you want to have the externals like. Let us have the heart like them first. I know you know this thing, but you are just for our own enlightenment, you have asked this question. You already, I see you sufficiently balanced. Thank you so very much for giving such a patient hearing to today's discussion. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Srila Prabhupada ki chai, Gaur Bhakta Vinda ki chai, Itai Gaur Premanandi.